Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how you doing today, my friend?
It's good to talk to you, Jimmy. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am good. Like we've been having lately, some technical issues just getting started. Andy was getting an echo back, and it turned out the issue was on my side. My apologies, Andy, for all of that, but we got everything straightened out now. Are you ready to talk about some Penn State football?
Yeah, let's do it. We're in the midst of the in-between games and practice season. So plenty to talk about with this football team. Let's do it, Jimmy. I'm excited.
All right, let's do it. I'll tell you what we're going to do today, Andy. Here's the theme of the show. The theme is levels of concern. Now, going into the season, there's obviously a lot of different things a team has to be worried about. What we're going to do, though, is I'm going to present to you different issues, different items that the team is dealing with, and you tell me what your level of concern is with each one of them. And just to kind of quantify it a bit, what we're going to do is have you, Andy, rate your level of concern on a scale from 1 to 5. 1 being the least concerning, 5 being the most concerning. Okay, so we got the rules down?
We do. I'm good with rules. Yep.
Okay.
I got them.
Let's get started then. Andy, I want to start with the offensive line. Here's my concern. They are losing 2 very good offensive line tackles, okay? One of them was a first-round pick. One of them a third-round pick. Then they also lost their center, who I think we as Penn State fans, we really underrated Hunter Norzad. He was actually a 5th-round pick in the NFL draft. So one could argue these are the 3 most important positions on the offensive line, the 2 tackles and the center, and you're losing all 3 of them, Andy. How concerned are you?
So you have 3 of 100, you know, the top 150 players or so selected in the NFL. 3 of Penn State's starting offensive linemen were all picked in there. Who saw that coming, right? Like, not completely outside the box, but definitely a big surprise. Yeah, there is concern along the offensive line when you lose that much talent with experience that has developed and progressed. Now, I think my level of concern is a 2 for this. And I'll tell you why it is only a 2. It's because while these 3 NFL guys have been starting. And remember, Hunter Norzad was a 1-year starter at center and had started at guard. So he's been a 2-year starter. They've all been multiple year starters and they've all been pretty much very durable, right? I mean, we know Olu missed a little bit of time, but it wasn't significant. Here's the thing. They have been able to develop players underneath them and get them some seat time for every now and then. So I think the way the offensive line has sort of over the last 3 seasons, I would say, how they have progressed in their development, and now the end result of it was 3 guys drafted in the, you know, in the first 5 rounds of the NFL draft. Good for them, right? Like, that is where they're at. So is it going to be a lot of fresh faces in new places? Yes. But here's the thing that I get out of 2. I think there's multiple options. I think they have 3 tackles to choose for the 2 spots. I think they have their center, right? Like, we know Nick Dawkins is going to be their center. Oh, the guy everybody forgets about, Sal Wormley. All Sal Wormley does is start and play every game pretty much. Doesn't do anything flashy. Doesn't do anything that stands out to you. But does almost absolutely everything well, and almost nothing below standards. That's all he does. He is back to anchor this line. So he is one in there. But I think they have 3 other options at the inside positions for them to look at. So they have plenty of options to choose from. They have depth. But it is going to be a lot of new faces in the same old places, Jimmy. So that's why I give it a 2. But I have a sort of comfortable, quiet confidence in the way over the last 3 seasons I have seen players along this offensive line develop. And so that means talent development is happening. They've done better in the last 3 years at talent acquisition. Now you're going to see it in full bloom. Is the development meeting the talent acquisition? I think it's going to be. That's why I roll with a 2.
Well, Andy, now, you know, Court, you mentioned Wormley. Just to clarify, he's an inside guy. He's a guard.
Correct.
And at the tackle position, it's the depth part that helps alleviate my concern. So let's start with the center. You know, I feel pretty good about Nick Dawkins. He's also a character guy, well-liked, good guy, works hard, all of those things, waiting for this opportunity. I think he'll do fine with it. What's nice is we have this guy by the name of Cooper Cousins coming in as a true freshman. You don't want to put a true freshman out there. You really don't. But I think by the second half of the season, you will have an alternative there. Where I'm headed with this, I think the same thing at the tackle positions. Probably Drew Shelton, you think of as your left tackle. At right tackle, Anthony Donka played really well in the bowl game. And you have Nolan Rucci coming in as potentially a swing guy, not to mention also J.B. Nelson, who could play tackle switching from a guard spot. So I think it's that depth that makes me feel better about it. I don't like losing, you know, NFL caliber tackles, right, but I do like the fact that we have multiple options to look at, Andy, as the alternatives. All right, let's go on to my next question for concern. Leading receiver on the team, Keandre Lambert-Smith. Andy, he has made his way to the transfer portal. He came out the other side as an Auburn Tiger. How concerned are you about the loss of Lambert-Smith?
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal for Penn State. I do. I get the understanding of a little bit of addition by subtraction because he really faded to black last year, right? Like completely almost irrelevant the last 3-4 games, right? Like absolutely nothing. And still, anytime at a position when you've got the level of struggle that you have experienced at Penn State, I'd say the last 2 seasons, pretty much, you know, at least, you know, it wasn't great 2 years ago. It got worse last year. In terms of the wide receiver position and the production and the ability to have an impact inside this offense. It went downhill last year. It wasn't great the year before. So that to me speaks to there hasn't been enough development to not worry about losing a guy like Keandre Lambert-Smith. I get Julian Fleming came in. I understand, you know, Wallace was hurt almost all of last year. I realized Caden Saunders had struggled with the transition from high school to college and hasn't developed. Okay, that's all that is on the table. Is there potential at this position? I see a little bit more potential, but I still think a 1,700-yard guy who would prove not being in a wide receiver one role, and I think that was sort of why he left after spring ball, you're not going to be the main focus of the offense as a wide receiver. And he couldn't accept that at Penn State, but it's actually the best role for him. So I still think it's a 4 because production out the door is production out the door at a position where production has been at a minimum, which means anything is at a premium. So I give it a 4, Jimmy. I would even, you know, dare to say it'd be 4.5 on my scale.
I don't have quite the same level of concern as you do. I understand the production, Andy. And if a year ago, this wide receiver group was productive, was good, I'd say, and you're losing the leader of that group, that's a problem. But what you had last year was not good at wide receiver. It was bad.
It was really bad. Yeah.
Yes. And this was the leader of a bad group. Now,
I know.
I'll take off the table, you know, whatever production there was on the field and what skill level there is on the field. There was something wrong in the wide receiver room. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not going to say it was all on Lambert Smith. However, it need to be shook up, and this is the way you shake up that room. The guy who was allegedly the number one guy, he moves on, and the way the coaching staff worked with him with his level of reps at the end of the season come game time told me, I think the coaching staff was ready for a change also. So that's why I'm not as concerned, perhaps, as some other people might be. All right, Andy, let's sneak another one in here.
Sure.
Let's go with the kicker.
I knew it. I knew you were going to the kicker, Jimmy. I just knew it.
Well, you're kind of the kicking guy, the specialist guy. They're going to have a new field goal kicker, Andy. How do you feel about that?
It is going to be important, right? It is relevant. But I don't think Penn State had a kicker that was, you could say, okay, that guy could win a football game for us, right? He didn't hurt them. It's a one, right? Like, I know they need to find a kicker. And I know the guys that kick the ball are relevant. And I have said when we made a top 10 list that they were on my list. But have you seen Penn State special teams and kicking game fall off the map? That's my thing, is I don't have any. Now, I know they don't have a new special teams coordinator, but I haven't seen them struggle at the kicker or punter position in how long, Jimmy? I mean, last year, first game, right? The guy you picked in the competition, you know, miss, whiff, right in game, change right now. That's it. We're changing right now. We're going to number two right away. That's gutsy. That means you had two guys that you were seriously looking at and you picked one and you picked the wrong one. I think it's going to end up and I think it could end up looking a little bit the same way again, but I don't have a huge concern.
All right, Andy, we will finish with the kickers in quarter one. Stick around. We got more concerns come quarter number two.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. We're going with a theme show today. Andy, our theme is, what is your level of concern? I bring up the potential concerning item. You tell us what your level of concern is. To quantify this, we're going to have a point system. If it's most concerning to you, it's a 5. It's least concerning to you, it's a 1. So I asked you about the kicking situation. You had that as a 1. The loss of Keandre Lambert-Smith, you had as a 4. And the loss of 3 starters off the offensive line, the 2 tackles in the center, you had that as a 2, correct?
Correct. I had that as a 2.
Okay. Huh. Surprise there. Your concern is at the wide receiver position. Okay.
All roads lead back to it, Jimmy. No matter what you talk about during this in-between game season, at some point when it comes to Penn State's 2024 team, all roads sort of lead back to the wide receiver, and then the small spoke of that is the quarterback in the big games, but I'm sure we're going to get to that.
All right, Andy. Let's take a look at some things on the defensive side of the ball. We talked about losing 3 offensive linemen. How about losing your top 3 cornerbacks? And even though, you know, Johnny Dixon didn't get drafted, the other 2 did. I think that they are all potential NFL players, but you lost all 3 of them, Andy.
Yeah, and you went to the transfer portal to get another starter, which means recruiting-wise, and when you lose that much at one time, that's a big loss, right? Like, so there's a depth issue associated with that. It's not like Penn State doesn't have, like they've had poor depth or were thin at the cornerback position. But when you lose that much and the transfer portal is available to you, Penn State got a win. I would call getting A.J. Harris as a corner from the University of Georgia, I'd put it on the Chop Robinson level of a transfer portal guy when they got him from Maryland. It's at the same level. He is an impact player. It's still a 4 for me because you had a ton of sort of talented, but also very in the devil in the details of the game and sort of the little nuances of a game. They were sticky good, I call it. Like they were where they were supposed to be and doing things that made a really huge impact, but they were just small things that they were doing. That is what they're going to miss more than anything. I do think they have 2 talented corners in Cam Miller and A.J. Harris. What they have beyond that, we really, really, really don't know. I know Elliot Washington came, Jalen Kimber came from the University of Florida as a transfer portal guy. He's got some experience. Okay, we know he has experience. What's he look like on a Penn State field, right? Like, that's a question mark. I think they have 2 very capable front guys, and I think they're going to have to develop and, you know, sort of display a little depth. But I put it at a 4 just because, for me, more this time the depth isn't good enough to cover it up like it was on the offensive line. I give it a 4 mostly because of the 3 guys that walked out of the room.
I was probably at your level of concern when the season first ended and we knew all 3 of those guys would be out the door. But I think you underplay Kimber coming from Florida, which is he has game experience in the Southeast Conference. Correct. I think there's something to be said for that. A.J. Harris looked wonderful. He really looked like he could fulfill that 5-star pedigree that he had coming out of high school. You mentioned Cam Miller. You didn't mention Zion Tracy. I have a little bit of concern because of just the amount of changeover, but I think the talent is there, Andy. where you have it maybe, as you said, as a four, I'm probably more like a two there. So let's I'm a little bit more optimistic than you.
Yes, let's, you generally are, sir.
As I generally am. That's a good point. Let's move on. Let's hit Abdul Carter. I think a lot of fans just see this really the stud player, all of the physical traits, and getting them to defensive end, Andy, will just get him more opportunities to go out after the quarterback, that this is just 100% win all around. I'm not so sure. I have a little bit of concern here. It is still a change of position, Andy. So how big a deal, how big a concern is it, that movement?
Yeah, for me, Jimmy, it's a one. Okay. That's a one. Abdul Carter is a stud football player. He possesses a deep, deep arsenal of talent that, you know, look at Micah Parsons. It wasn't fully realized at the linebacker position. You saw a good bit of it. I think it is a he is a dual strength player. I don't think the move to defensive end is going to be difficult for him. Okay, do I kind of wonder about, you know, can he hold the edge on first down? But then I look at him and how big and strong he is, and I'm like, I think the upside on the other side of bringing him off the edge and getting him into more open space than he would be in the middle of the field as a linebacker, boy, that is very enticing as a football fan, Jimmy. So the flip side of it is, I kind of wonder can he hold the edge and strong enough on first down to be consistent and good to get off blocks and maybe, you know, make a tackle for a 2 or 3 yard gain when they isolate him and run right at him. Maybe I have a little bit of concern about that, but the upside of him, you know, running in open spaces, chasing the individual with the football is just so alluring. It makes it a one for me.
Well, Andy, I don't want it to sound like I have a concern or I think it is the wrong play to move him to defensive end. Here's my issue, and it's funny. You mentioned his ability to hold the edge, which has been the thing that I have mentioned multiple times as my concern. But my concern might be in a little different way than what you're saying. As you said, he's big, strong. Is he physically capable of holding the edge? The answer to that is yes. But you talked about how alluring it is for him chasing down the ball. My concern for him will be discipline there. There are times when, as the defensive end, you got to hold your ground. You got to not fall for the fake. You got to not go the other way. You got to maintain your lane integrity. You got to maintain. And I just think all his instincts, everything is to go after the ball. That is my fear. Will he get suckered into something when he should be staying in his lane and maintaining the edge? We shall see, Andy. Again, I'm enthusiastic.
Point, Jimmy. Yeah, you got a very, very, very valid point. Gap integrity, discipline integrity, they're very, very important at the defensive end position. And you're not wrong. I can't fight back with you on that one. You win the day on that one. But man, Jimmy, the upside on the alluring is just too hard for me not to lick my chops at.
Well, all those pluses, Andy, definitely, without a doubt, they outweigh any potential negative. Game we're playing today was not, you know, what is your level of concern? If it's what is your level of excitement to see it, I'm a five. Okay. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be really interested in it. Okay. Let's go on to our next one, Andy. And there's been a pretty good amount of discussion about, what Penn State's going to do as far as the 11th player. That's the best way to describe it. Typically a 4-3 defense, four down linemen, three linebackers as their base package. And, of course, on passing downs, they've often changed. That's when we'd see Daquan Hardy in the slot, the third cornerback. But the conversations we're hearing is kind of a switch of the base defense, where there will be a third safety in place of that third linebacker. Do you have any concern about that adjustment?
Yeah, you said 1 to 5. I would make this a 0, Jimmy. It's a 1 because it's the lowest number. And we just talked about it moving Abdul Carter as part of it, right? Because he was a linebacker. I think that move also opens up them to be a 4-2 base defense, play a 4-2-5 defense, because the strength at the linebacker is the two linebackers that they have left over, moving Abdul Carter down. The personnel that they have fit this, you know, sort of change in base defense to an absolute T. They don't have to try and rob Peter to pay Paul or try and fit a little bit of a square peg into a round hole. It fits. It fits well. Straight safety is such a strong depth position. They have 4 starters, and they want to get 3 of them on the field. They have 4 quality safeties that could start for most teams, and you've got to get them on the field, and they're different. They're physical. They're cover guys. They're long guys. They're running guys. They have a little bit of everything, so you've got to get that out there and use it. I just think it fits. I mean, you've got, you know, moving Abdul Carter to DN. You've got a potential beast on the other side. You got 4 veteran inside guys who know the ropes and know exactly what they're doing. It just feels like the right fit, and it feels like the right base defense based on what Penn State's personnel is entering 2024. This fits like a glove, Jimmy. I think it would be harder to run a 4-3 defense moving Abdul Carter to DN, trying to make your base defense a 4-3. I'm like, that's trying to fit a little bit of a square peg into a round hole when you move Carter. So this fits, Jimmy, 100%. It's a 1 for me, no doubt about it.
I'm with you on this one, Andy. Woo-hoo! And I think that there's this situation where sometimes there's too much emphasis on that position and what they are, where there are guys, you know, at linebacker, you have multiple responsibilities. And I'm not sure, you know, moving a safety to that, playing a third safety, he's going to do a lot of the same things that third linebacker was doing anyway.
Some of them, yes.
You know, Dom DeLuca, because we label him a linebacker, we say we're playing a 4-3, but he started as a safety. So, you know, I have zero concern about this one also. Andy, all right, that is it for quarter number 2. Stick around. We've got your questions we're going to ask Andy when we come back.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. You know what that means. It's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question for Andy, here's all you do. Download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. You hit it, send in your question, and away you go. Just like our buddy Steve from Columbia did. And I like this question, Andy, from Steve. He says,
"Oh boy,
I work in the NCAA compliance office. What exactly do I do? Play solitaire and watch YouTube shorts? In all seriousness, what in the world do they do, Andy?"
Yeah, that's anymore in the era of the transfer portal and NIL. And compliance used to be about, you know, standards and maintaining, you know, the sort of making sure that while the rules are black and white, the rules aren't, they're not the every institution interprets those rules differently. So they sort of made sure the general interpretation of the rule was being overseen at universities across the country. And I don't mean that being in an illegal way, Jimmy. That's not what I mean. Like institutional control. And that's what compliance's job is institutional control. And institutional control can be different at Penn State than it is at Maryland, than it is at NC State, than it is at, you know, Washington. The interpretation by the university of what institutional control means under the NCAA could be operationally done different. So the at the NCAA level, compliance was sort of their overarching responsibility was to make sure that institutional control was being adhered to across the board in the many ways, shapes, and forms that it played out. And I don't mean that of what you're doing is illegal or illegal by the black and white letter of the law of the NCAA. That's not what I mean by that. So that was what I thought their kind of job is, but I think the transfer portal and NIL, I don't know. I'm not sure. I couldn't say for sure. I mean, the universities like to sort of assert that they still have institutional control. They're still held to that standard by the NCAA. How it's you can enforce it and how you can interpret it now, whew, good luck.
Andy, you say you don't know what they're doing. Steve is saying he doesn't know what they do. I don't know what they do. And you know what, Andy? Most importantly, they don't have any idea what they're doing. None. Every time they try to do something, and I'll disagree with you on this about is it illegal? Well illegal by the standards of the rules that are out there. That's what institutions are doing. And you know what? If the NCAA tries to enforce any of it, you just go running to the courts. You go to a friendly court in your home state that'll rule in your favor, and you're allowed to do it. That has been the history over these last couple of years. Anything to time the NCAA. I wish, Andy, you know I like sports gambling, okay? Yes. I wish there was a way to bet on court cases. It's very simple. I would just bet against the NCAA. Could you imagine the streak you would be on if you just said, here's my play. Whatever the NCAA does, when they go to court, you bet against them, you're going to win, Andy. And there's got to be a new sheriff in town. There's got to be a new way to handle this. The way it's being done, the NCAA, Steve, I think all they're doing is they're milking out their last days, taking whatever money they can, making whatever they can of it. It can't go on. It's got to change. All right. Let's go to Gary in Harrisburg. Let's shift gears quite a bit. Gary says, how big a loss is King Mac?
Huh. That's a good question. Like a level of concern, right?
Kinda, yes.
Yeah. Man, I'd put that at a... Where would you put that, Jamie? I'd put it at a 3? Is that a 3? Would it raise that high for you?
Well, here's... I have two minds here, Andy. One is, I think this is a really good player, and I really don't like the loss of him. Like, I even saw already someone was projecting he may end up at Alabama, which tells you what the level of player he is. However, that level of concern, it's tempered by James Franklin's ability to use the portal so efficiently. Like I said, a couple months ago, I was really concerned about cornerback.
Right.
You so were. Was James Franklin.
Yeah.
He went and he did something about it. And, you know, pretty much outside a wide receiver, I know, everyone's going to bring that up. James Franklin has been good at filling holes through the portal. He focuses on it. It will be interesting to see how he fills that hole. That's the only thing that tempers it for me. And when I say hole, I'm not talking about the 24 season. I'm talking about the 25 and 26 season. It's not a hole right now. And go ahead.
So I was going to say was what it tells me is in the 4-2-5 set, you know, he was fourth. He couldn't. You know, he's talented, right? But he was also very young. So he was going to play, but he wasn't going to have a role. I don't know how you transfer to Alabama and that gets any better for you. It could be just that Penn State the three safeties in front of him are just, right now, they're just better, right? There's no other way to put it.
And Andy, I want to look at this from the player's perspective. And I think I've been pretty good about saying, you know what, if a player's not getting on the field, if he decides to hit the portal, I have no problem with that. Good for him.
Absolutely. But I think
in this position of strength, which safety is for Penn State, no, he wasn't going to be one of those first three guys out there. But he would have gotten an opportunity to play. He has all the tools. The way the legacy of Penn State now at that defensive back, both cornerback and safety, I think this is a very good place for him to be. And I think it would have led to him getting to the NFL. Now, he's got the risk of change going to a new system with new coaches. He's not going to have the spring practice to get himself prepared for it. Again, I wish him well. Good luck to him moving on. And maybe there was something more to it than that, Andy.
Right.
But just from on the surface, being able to play the game, I think he was in a good position here at Penn State. All right, let's get to our next question. Let's go to Eddie in Pittsburgh, who says, Andy, why do you think Penn State struggles so much with NIL? We don't seem to come close to teams like Ohio State in raising NIL money.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think it's partly historical, right? Like, I don't think Penn State has always had a very vibrant and passionate fan base, but I don't think you know, where the university is located, right? Like, it's a very rural area, right? It's not a money area. It's not like Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or Columbus, Ohio or Cleveland, Ohio, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know Clemson has similar type, you know, I don't want to use the word struggles, but similar type inherent issues as Penn State in terms of their NIL money and their fan base. Penn State's fan base is about as good as it gets, right, as football fans. But they aren't sort of programmed to be, you know, resource providers. That's just not the way their fan base was built. It wasn't the sort of way Joe sort of sold the program as he built it. And I think change is going to come slow. That's my answer. I just see it as not something that is a red flag. I don't see it as a red flag. I just see it as it's a unique kind of fan base.
Andy, I look at it a little bit different. I think there's some truth to what you say, but I think, you know, Penn State, yes, it has the rural location, but Penn State graduates are in all the big cities.
Correct.
New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington.
LA.
It has a base that could provide that money. But there's been the Penn State tradition of success with honor, as opposed to there's some schools, you know, the old saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Well, there are schools like that who have big money donors who feel that way. Now, this isn't cheating, but when NIL first came out, it had that feel that it wasn't the same way. There were already schools that had kind of systems in place where money was coming in under the table. Now it's just coming in over the table. And it's interesting that Eddie, he mentions Ohio State, because this is a year that Ohio State has gone all in.
Yep.
Well, take a look at the schools that went all in. Texas A&M was the school that went all in. What did it get them? And, you know, give me the school that went all in at NIL and had a really great payoff from it. It's limited, Andy. And in fact, I don't think it's sustainable. And at Ohio State, there's going to be I just read something somewhere that said, you know, if they don't make at least the playoff semifinals, Ryan Day's job is in jeopardy. I mean, there's so much pressure on them. They've got to win or it's not a successful season. And the last point I'm going to make here, Andy, on this topic is Penn State fans think they're alone in struggling with NIL. I will tell you the vast majority of schools are struggling with NIL.
Yeah.
And that's the news that you hear. Most recently, just heard now, again, I understand Minnesota's at a different level than Penn State. But P.J. Fleck just went on, you know, his soapbox. If we don't get more NIL money, that is what is going on more places than not, Andy. All right, that's going to have to be it for quarter number three. Stick around. We're going to go back to our concern segment when we get back.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, we're having a good show here. Talking about our different topics where you're rating your level of concern on topics that I bring up to you for this Penn State football team going into the 2024 season. We have a couple more topics to hit on. And let me get to this one because I'm really curious to hear your answer. And both the offensive and defensive coordinators are going to be different this year. They're making changes. One of them, well, Manny Diaz, he voluntarily left to get a head coaching job. The other side, the decision was made. Mike Yurcich was given the boot. They bring in a new offensive coordinator. I want to know, what's your level of concern with making that kind of change? It's not often that a team has to replace both coordinators.
Yeah, it's my level of concern because it's both sides of the ball to a degree. That's what raises it to a three. And the only reason it's at a three, it's both ways, Jimmy. It's all around. It's special teams coordinator as well. And some of the change will take some time. It's going to be a good bit of new, but you've got to retain some of the old. And the reason you have to retain some of the old, and this is going to be tough for the coordinators. They know that inherently, because look at what Penn State's roster presents to these two new coordinators, a fairly deep pool of experienced, talented players, right? So you can't come in and say, well, we're starting over. We start from scratch. It was that bad. We're changing everything. Heck, this defense was top five in the country in almost everything and anything. So while you want to make change as a new coordinator, be careful on, you know, making too much change that it sort of stunts the growth of your talent. So that's going to be the sticky wicket that both of these main coordinators on offense and defense, Tom Allen and Andy Kotelnicki, have to navigate, is bring your stuff to them, but make sure you don't take what is inherently already good out of them. And I just think that's going to be a little bit of a time, you know, and by time, I don't mean four, five, six games. I just mean a little bit of time to get it implemented and figure out what sticks and stays from the old and what needs to change for the new. And so that's why I put it at a three. I think they have two capable coordinators. I think you're going to be surprised at the Penn State fans at the defensive chops that Tom Allen has as a coordinator. And I think that's what impressed James Franklin, was at his core, this guy's a defensive he's got some chops as a DC. I know he was dipping into the well of the former head coach to be his DC. I understand that. But I honestly believe from everything, you know, reading the tea leaves, that he wanted to talk to Tom Allen. But at the end of the day, he was surprised at the talk with Tom Allen enough to hire him. So I just think it's a three, and I think it's going to be making sure that you don't take the shine off what has the shine on it already.
My concern, Andy, is just how much time it might take. Might there be, you know, the first couple games? I have some concerns about that first game at West Virginia.
Okay? As you should.
I think West Virginia will be really primed for this game, and I'm concerned that they might stumble early because of the coordinators. The coordinators they brought in, though, I'm happy with both picks. What I like about Tom Allen is, and I think more people question that than the Andy Kotelnicki hire. It's Indiana, you know, that he came from. So people, guess what? Right. You know, coaching at Indiana is a very difficult job. But James Franklin had gotten to see Tom Allen's work up close.
Yep.
So he knows him. Yes, he knows him well. He knows what he's capable of doing with the talent or lack of talent he has had, and that impressed him. So I'm trusting of that. And I also like the other way it goes, that Tom Allen knows the Penn State personnel very well. He knows the Big Ten very well. I think that all helps. Andy Kotelnicki, I think he has a lot of tools here to use. But, Andy, you know, there's and the mistakes I think that were made by his predecessor are pretty obvious and straightforward to fix for a good offensive coordinator. So I think we'll be happy with both hires. All right. Speaking of Andy Kotelnicki, that leads into the next question on level of concern. And I'm going to talk about Drew Aller, Andy. You know, this is like this Rorschach test. It depends on the eye of the beholder what you saw. You know, some of the numbers, the TD to interception ratio is so good. But the big games, you know, he disappointed. My question to you is, what is your level of concern there with Drew Aller? I mean, is he who he is? Do we already know that? Or is there another level we could see from him when he gets against that good competition?
So my level of concern, I'll number it for our little exercise that we're doing today as a 3. However, I would like to make this point. Talented players, and he is a talented player. He's a very talented player. Their biggest jump is from year 1 to year 2. So he is going from year 1 starter to year 2 starter. That is my biggest crutch that I'm going to lean on. I think it will be better. And I know it was the Ohio State-Michigan game that Penn State fans want to talk about. There were a couple other games in there that were squeaky as well, Jimmy, that were full of, you know, that needed WD-40 on them. They weren't as well either. It wasn't holistically his responsibility. He was handicapped and cut off at the knees by the offensive coordinator. The wide receiver position was an absolute dumpster fire around him, right? Okay, those are also reasons, but in his mind, they're excuses, right? And I think in his mind is the key to this. He knows he's a better quarterback than he showed in those games. And I think there's a real strong probability, because his talent doesn't match those kind of performances. And you can expect a jump from year 1 to year 2. Expect it. He's just too hardworking, too smart, and too committed to what he's doing for him not to make a jump. It's none of those things. It's none of the small things that make a difference. He checks all those boxes. So it's a 3 because it was beyond Michigan and Ohio State for me. But I think there's a lot of elements in place for him to take it. And I think Andy knows that to fix this offense, it starts at the quarterback position. Andy knows that. Andy knows that if I can get Drew Aller right, everything else can fall into place. No matter what, the wide receivers then just become the wide receivers. If you get Drew Aller to realize talent, everything else sort of covers up for itself.
You know, I've been saying this for a while, Andy, that Andy Kotelnicki was brought in to fix specific issues. He's got talent on this offense. There is no doubt about it. And Drew Aller is one of those talents.
Absolutely.
And I think part of it is also it's going to be, you know, Andy Kotelnicki create a confidence in Drew Aller that obviously was missing at points last year. And, you know, we could do an entire show on why that's the case. How much was on Drew Aller? How much was on the wide receivers? How much was on the play calling? But a lot of those things have changed. New offensive coordinator with Lambert Smith out, Julian Fleming in. It's a different wide receiver room. A lot of things are changing here. And I will also give Drew Aller credit. He seems to be aware of that confidence level that he needs to up his game at that point. So, Mike, I do have, would you put your level of concern at a three? I think that's a good way to put it, Andy. I'm hopeful. All right, let's get to this. A little bit different. It's not directly the team, but it's the schedule that they're going to be facing, Andy. What's your level of concern about the strength of schedule in this coming year? Very different than last year. Last year, before the season started, we all said there's 12 games and there's 10 games they should definitely win, without a doubt. And then there's the Michigan-Ohio State games. Little different this year. Michigan's off the schedule. If you want to say Michigan and Ohio State are elite, well, they only have one of those elite teams, but they have several really good teams that they have to play against, Andy. That's different than last year.
Yeah, they have what I call what could be a tweener schedule, right? Like, they have some tough road games, right? There's no doubt about it. At West Virginia, that's a different game than last year. It's going to be a tougher game, and it's on the road. Opener. It was a tough game last year, but Penn State played really well. It's going to be an even tougher game this year, and Penn State's going to need to play well. At USC, I know they lost. They had the number one overall pick in the draft. I still think that's going to be a tough game. But I also think, you know, at Wisconsin, yeah, that's a tweener. They have some tweener games. They have some eye candy on their schedule, but I also think they have, like, UCLA, right? At home, UCLA is in serious transition. Lost a lot of talent to the NFL, lost their head coach. Transition, right? Washington Huskies, same thing. Home game, year ago, that's a brutal game to have on your schedule. This year, a little bit different game. You know, I just think they have what on the surface looks like a tougher schedule, but I think underneath it, with the talent level that Penn State has and sort of the stability, they still might be heavily favored in maybe even 10 of these games, Jimmy. I really believe that.
I think they'll be favored in those games, Andy, but not by a lot. And especially, you mentioned it, on the road, those USC, Wisconsin, and West Virginia, I think Penn State can be favored in all three of them, but they're all trap games. They're all games that could – they concern me. All right, Andy.
Yeah, they're right. Yep.
That's going to have to be it. That is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.